Okay, my friend Robert from Florida wrote me this question. I think it's more of a thought, but I'm going to treat it as a question and do an answer because I think this is something people want to know about. Dear Paul, started going to a non-denominational church. They believe in the rapture, something I could never buy into. Should I not attend that church? I wonder if there are any churches who have it all right. I still go to a Catholic church. I just ignore the things I know are wrong. I've met some wonderful people there. I think in the past I would have had a more negative attitude towards going to any church. But, as I've grown older, I've realized that my perspective on going to church is heavily influenced by my own gifts and my own issues, I suppose. Because as someone who's made studying the Bible a very big deal in my life from a young age, and who was kind of pushed into teaching, into expressing thoughts, and who has sort of, I believe, been led by God to do these things. When I go to church, it's not the same as when many other people go to church. When I go to church, because God has given me to speak, it can result in a lot of negative experiences. It's kind of like when the apostles in the book of Acts would enter into these hostile synagogues. Because if you think about it, the synagogue in the day of the apostles, they didn't have the right doctrine. They didn't know that Jesus was the Savior. He was the Messiah. They didn't know that, and they were arguing with the apostles on that subject. And I could look at it the same way if I go to a church and they don't agree with some aspect of doctrine. Some may be more important, some less important. And for me, I have the worst experience actually going to churches where I can't participate at all. There's really no time for talking. There's no real fellowship going on. It's just people walking in and out. Though having been at different church services, I enjoy singing with people. I've also met some wonderful people in churches. And if the purpose is to go and to be in the company of other believers, if you're going in with eyes wide open, and you're not under the spell of the authorities who are running the show, because for some people, the Catholic priest is an absolute authority. And so for someone who views them as this absolute authority on religion, being in that place can be harmful to them. But you also have to consider how much of that is really our own fault. If we're just going to church to go through the motions and our faith is not really grounded in Christ, but it's just something we do by tradition, and then yes, the priest is who the priest is and we are who we are. We come, we go, we did our duty. I don't really know what the mindset is of that kind of nominal Christianity because I've never been that way. I've always taken it much more seriously. But I don't think there's anything wrong with going to these places, to actually appear there, any more than it is wrong for the apostles to go to synagogues that didn't preach Jesus. They really had no choice. In the book of Acts, in chapter 2, when the apostles first received the Holy Spirit, they are, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, I mean, all the believers. Breaking in bread with prayers and they were selling their possessions and having everything in common because there was only a certain number of them and they were all there. So they had this tradition at that time of living communally. They were like missionaries to the entire world, because when missionaries go to a foreign place, they're kind of like the way the apostles were in Jerusalem when the Spirit was first given. They were filled with faith. They were in a hostile country, and they were preaching the gospel and helping each other. kind of living like missionaries would in a godless land. Now, we don't really live in a godless land here in America. We live in a land of where all the people, most people believe still in Jesus in one way or the other. The letter from Robert also included, of course, a mention of, you know, he enjoys talking to the Jehovah's Witnesses at the supermarket. And they stopped coming to my house. Probably had me marked as going directly to hell. But, you know, here's the thing. It's important for us to connect with other believers. Let's say I show up at a Catholic church. Well, I might show up the same week that someone else shows up who's just like me. They're not marching to the beat that the priest is drumming out. They are following the Lord. And maybe the Lord has led them there that weekend. Maybe it's not something they do all the time. Or maybe they're just always there waiting. Looking. You look at the seven churches in the book of Revelation. You know, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis. You know, Sardis was a very corrupt church. You have a few names, even in Sardis, that have not defiled their garments. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So you can have a church that is very corrupt with people in it that are not corrupt. Because the church is not the earthly organization that controls it. Meaning that controls the earthly organization. Because the earthly organization is not ultimately controlling the church. The church is under the control of the Holy Spirit. So I think it's perfectly acceptable to go different places and see who you meet. To take in different churches and check them out. You know, the thing about a Catholic church that I could see, I mean, I don't go, but I could see the advantage of going there because it is so superficial. It's like, but if you're full of faith, you know, there's the reading of the gospel. They always read from the gospel. They pray. We pray together. And I'm not going to sit there in judgment of every person there. Maybe they're all filled with faith. And this is the way they go about it. Maybe the words are every bit as powerful as they ever were. Even though they're repeated, you know, very frequently. Maybe they aren't being vainly repeated, but being repeated with all sincerity. So, you know, I try to be more generous towards my fellow believers until they prove otherwise. Besides, most of the time when we look at churches and we're judging them, we're just judging the people running the show, the people running the organization. When really, we ought to know that from God's perspective, the church is not the organization that's running the weekly gathering. It is the people there. It's kind of like going to a high school dance. You don't go for the teachers and the principal, you know, when you're in school. You go for your date or the other friends that might be there. That's who you're going. You're going to dance with them. You're not going there because, well, it's the principal and the... I mean, you may be because that's the school you're from, but that's not the primary motivation for attending. So, and also another thought is just that the teaching is so, what would I say? There's so little teaching actually in church these days that it's like, how much damage is it going to do? And I believe that if we are led by God's Spirit, if God has led us to have a sound mind and to carefully consider things that people are telling us that we should believe or not believe. If we're following that, you know, I know that a lot of people don't believe the last few verses of Mark are part of the Bible and that they were a scribal addition where it talks about they're going to drink poison and no harm will come on them. But I do think as a metaphor, that is true, that I can't be poisoned with false doctrine. I may have some belief that's off or something, but it can do me ultimately no harm because the Lord is my life is kept in Him. You know, He is the one who is the author and finisher of my faith and of my salvation. So while I do not want to go carelessly among unbelievers, like I said, I treat it like the apostles going into hostile synagogues. Because, like in Robert's question, there are churches that teach doctrines which we know not to be true, or we think we know, right? The rapture, I don't believe in the rapture. I don't go for that. And I could walk in there, and they're teaching it, right? And it's a hostile situation. It's no different than if Paul walks into a synagogue and they're talking about the law of Moses. You know, because he believed in the new covenant. They were talking about the old covenant. And these same struggles can come up today if you go to a church and they're talking about doctrines which are by tradition still held but are incorrect scripturally and I have no place in our faith. So if we have our eyes open, is it wrong? Well, in the spirit of Christ, there is liberty. You know, I wouldn't want to be seen to be affirming something. But on the other hand, I'm not like so paranoid about that that I wouldn't go for fear of being judged. If I was well known, though, let's say, and they're like, oh, this well-known dude is going to this church and giving them his approval. If I just sat there with my hands folded, I suppose that might be true. If I was going there regularly. But if I'm as anonymous as I really still am, I have liberty to do all kinds of things. And, you know, there's also the opportunity to explain myself. Oh, well, I'm doing it for the opportunity to fellowship with people or to meet new people. So I'll go to this church. There was a time when I went from place to place looking for a place that perhaps I could invest myself. In fact, I spent several years at Spirit of Truth Church up in Wisconsin. And I had to depart eventually because of serious differences. But that was something that came up for me personally. That doesn't mean that while I was there, I thought everything was perfect. I was willing to stay there, believing things imperfect. But the problem is, when you get involved in the ministry, as I was getting involved, and then you come into conflict, well, there's a problem. And that's the problem for me. It's been so often as I go to church from the perspective of ministry. I have my own ministry, a teaching ministry. So if I go to any particular church, I might go on a weekend to check it out. But let's say I'm going there every week. My gifts are going to have to, they're going to come out. There's things are going to happen. And if I just sit there in the back doing nothing, I'm going to feel like I have no purpose here. Some people are really good at, you know, social things. And like Robert said, I've met wonderful people. Well, that's a good reason to go, to meet wonderful people. And I've met wonderful people, but eventually had to go because of things to do with the ministry. Because of I inevitably get involved because of my skills as a musician, because of my ability to teach. It usually just kind of manifests itself. I don't have to push myself. I've been accused of that, like with Arnold Murray. People said, oh, you went down to Arkansas to push yourself on them. It's like, that's never happened. I was only down there for a few days to get married. I wasn't trying to push myself on anybody. I was in and out. When I was there, I was very polite and quiet, and I tried not to make a nuisance of myself. I only asked him one question, I believe, while I was there, and I tried not to take up much of his time. Because, I think rightly, he seemed like he had a lot to do. And I respected that. And so another part of the question is, you know, is there a church anywhere? And it wasn't a question, it was more of a, I know Robert's just thinking about these things, but these are things people do have questions about. Is there a church somewhere I can go where everything is exactly correct? There is no earthly organization that can possibly live up to that rule. Because earthly organizations are carnal, and they are inherently corrupt and corruptible. You cannot create an earthly organization and have it not turn out in one way or the other corrupt. There is always going to be some element of leaven, the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaven of religious organization. It's just going to happen. You just got to not really look so much to the organization. Don't expect it to be perfect. Now, when I say it can't be perfect, what I mean is the organizations, the earthly part of the church. The church is on earth, the true church. The church is on earth, and it is perfect because it is unified by God's Spirit, and it obeys His will. So it's perfect because He is the head of it, and He is directing it on earth. But to say the church on earth is different than to say an earthly church, meaning a building, a structure, an organization. I want to make that clear because I look for perfection. The church is perfect, and I want to approach that perfection in my mortal form as part of the church. But I have to remember that it's not the earthly structures, the buildings, the preachers, because those things are of the earth. They're earthly. But the church that is perfect is the church that is going to enter into His kingdom, the church that will endure. Unlike the earthly structures and the denominations, those will not endure. You know, even when you're talking about, let's say, Smyrna and Philadelphia, in the book of Revelation, you know, there are two churches that Christ approves of. But don't think of them as earthly churches. Yes, they are churches on earth, but he is referring to the people. Just like when I talk about, you know, you have a few names even in Sardis. Yes, it's a location. The church is on earth. But I'm not referring to, a few people in that organization, which is Sardis, but in the body of Christ, which is the believers in Him in Sardis. Among them, you have a few names which have not defiled their garment. And Philadelphia is a conglomeration of people who are faithful, of people who are of a church that is perfect. But you're not going to find that perfection among earthly institutions, though we expect to perform that perfection on earth as we live out the functions of the church ourselves. And I hope I made that clear. You know, what we're looking for. But look to other Christians who are like we are on a path that is looking to be perfect, but still with the humility to look about them and to see things as they really are. You know, and so we want sincerity. We want truth. You know, we want to be humble in our pursuit of truth. Meaning, you know, we don't, when we think we got it, start immediately pounding it into people. And I feel like I was like that a lot. I still feel as zealously as I ever did about the truth. I only have modified my confidence in my own ability to perceive truth. And but the thing is, when you feel something is true, you are naturally going to speak up and strongly about it. And that is what we ought to do. We ought not run around with our tails between our legs. If we have an opportunity to speak and we feel moved by God to speak on a subject, if somebody says something we think is incorrect, we want to say, hey, that's blasphemy. I think it's worth risking it. Worth risking it. Because the worst is going to happen is you find out you're wrong and it's humiliating. And humiliation can be a good thing. I've suffered a lot of humiliation in my life, and it always ended up doing me some good. To be a little bit taken down a notch or two is always excellent for the mind to begin to start seeing the world and the truth as we ought to see it, which is from the eyes of creatures that need to be shown by the Lord what's true, what's real, and how we ought to be. So those are my thoughts on the questions of going to church, churches that we know we disagree with. I think it's fine in context, meaning I wouldn't just say blanket, just go to any old church. But the way it's presented from someone who's very solid in their faith if you feel solid in your faith and you want to go, here's some things I would say to people, not to Robert, because I know he's a very introspective guy. He's not going to be like this. But some people, you know, you go, you get a head full of ideas. And I was like this when I was young. A head full of ideas, you want to go rushing into the church and try to straighten things out. If you do that, you're gonna. It's gonna be. Let's see. There's gonna be stress. There's gonna be. Maybe you'll be successful. I don't know. I wasn't. So, I'm just saying. You know, a lot of times we think we know a lot, and we go running off and want to share what we know with the world, and that's a wonderful, beautiful impulse to want to share some good thing that we have come into possession with. But as someone who has gone through that, to those people who are usually younger and thinking like that, because I mean, when you get older, I hope you would, you know, we would outgrow that mentality. It is not as productive to do that. The best thing we can do is to study to show ourselves approved. And then, you know, it's like Jesus says, if you have a brother who has a mote in his eye, make sure you don't have a beam in your eye first. It is so very easy to think that we don't have a beam in our eye. It is so easy to overlook that. We don't necessarily know. And but sometimes we just have to do things and go through things. Like I said, sometimes humiliation is our friend. But if we go to church, we should go with eyes open. Don't expect too much of the organization. Look for the people who you can have fellowship with. There are so many, I think, good believers out there. People who are genuine believers. Maybe they don't understand everything perfectly, but the Lord is with them. He's guiding them. And you may find a brother or a sister, whatever the case may be, with whom you may have some very edifying fellowship. And that is the purpose of going to church, is to minister one to another, not merely to listen to a lecture. You know, the lecture, when people talk about going to church, they always bring up, you know, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. So much more as you see the day approaching. It is the verse that was trotted out, like, you should not stop going to church. But that is not really what it's saying. What church has come to be is not necessarily what it once was. The assembling of ourselves together, for Paul, sometimes that meant going to the synagogue every weekend, to a hostile environment. And then going home and staying at the home, you know, he had really no permanent address at that time, but he would go back to the home of someone who was a believer, and they would have fellowship there. He was having fellowship with believers and then going among unbelievers and back and forth and preaching the gospel. Obviously, as an apostle, that was his role. We each have our own role, but in the church, we all have a duty to exhort one another, to fellowship one another, to fellowship with one another. So we should seek out fellowship. It's natural that a believer will want to have fellowship with other believers. I always feel very blessed because I married a woman, and I met her when I was young, who is a very zealous believer, every bit as much as me. And so I have this constant companion who is zealous for the things of God. That's important because now I have fellowship in the things of God every single day, or nearly every single day. At least I have access to it. So we all have a need and a duty to serve one another in one way or the other. And so if that means we go to whatever church is local, you know, much as, like I said, Paul went to the synagogues. Whatever is close by, I mean, that is kind of your church. You know, in the early days of the church, it was the church at Jerusalem. You know, the whole city was like one church. Now, they may have met in different locations, but in some sense, they were all as a whole. And I've always thought of a church as being the local body of believers, meaning the ones who are near to you. But the thing is, in this day and age with transportation and stuff, if you know, if we got to go down the highway a bit to a church that's a little more receptive, or that we find just ourselves more comfortable attending, that's all right. That's all right. But the main thing about church is we fellowship in it with other believers. And so that's what I look for, is other believers, the possibility of fellowship. It's also hard to come together to worship God. That's all right, too, to sing, to listen to singing. Like I said, in some churches, there's not a lot of fellowship. But it never hurts us to remind ourselves of the faith we live in. And if going to church and listening to singing and the reading of the gospel and of preaching things that maybe you don't agree with, but they're thought-provoking. You know, I could see that. I learned a lot from people I didn't agree with by just them provoking me to think about things. You know, part of Robert's question I didn't read was about the Jehovah's Witnesses. They said that Jesus was a created being. Yeah, I think it's interesting that they're going out and preaching. They're converting people, not preaching a gospel, but preaching something about diminishing the deity of Christ. It's kind of an odd way to go. But here you go. That makes you think. They say that, and then you think about that subject. Just like Paul going to the synagogues that were hostile. He would say, well, the Messiah must suffer. And they would say, how could that be? The Messiah must reign. And then they get into a discussion about it, and it was thought-provoking. You know, I can be a winner in every situation. I can be edified in every situation. I can benefit from every situation because all things work together for me for good because we love the Lord, because we are the called according to His purpose. So the things we're doing should be working for us. If we feel like they're working against us or it's bad for us, we might be weak in the faith. If we're going to these churches and we're feeling oppressed in them, and we're feeling like, like really angry or having emotional episodes or coming into conflict with people, then if that's the case for people, then they have to start thinking about, you know, maybe they're not ready for it, or maybe they should look for another place. There's can be all kinds of things that are, you know, causing our issues with other people. So that's my thought about attending churches where you don't agree. According to Robert's question, obviously, I wanted to make it apply to other people. I guess the only thing I would add for, you know, for people who might be worried, they say, well, what about things like 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 6? You know, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part he that believeth with an infidel? And of course, the mindset to apply this to a church would be that these are unbelievers. But really, they're not unbelievers. They might be poor believers. They might be in a church that's headed towards apostasy. But in the book of Revelation, when Jesus calls, you know, Sardis and Ephesus churches, He describes them, and they are places where they are teaching to commit fornication and to do things which are forbidden. So, if he could still call those places churches and reprimand them as churches and judge them as churches, then we shouldn't be applying this to people who name the name of Christ. If someone, the standard that John put out in his epistle was the spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That had to do specifically at that time with the Gnostic heresy, which was denying that Jesus Christ was a flesh and blood human being, but saying he was some sort of pure spirit. But what he was saying was very simple. Because they deny Christ, they are not of God. And so you might look at something like a Jehovah's Witness and say, you know, they deny him. They deny Christ, his fullness. So I don't know if I would go to a Jehovah's Witness church, but a church that affirms Christ, I would expect to find other believers there, or the potential to find other believers there. You can find all kinds of things at churches. You can find atheists. So I always think the clergy is populated by a good number of atheists, secret atheists, no doubt. that they don't believe in God, they're just doing the job for the organization. But we shouldn't just let them stand in the way. You know, just because we can't have church the way we might like it and run the way we might like it, because these earthly organizations always become corrupted, doesn't necessarily mean we should completely cut ourselves off from it. I don't think so. But also, if we find we can't get fellowship in those places, if we find we can't get along, it's all right to withdraw, not forsaking, but to withdraw from that kind of an environment. Not forsaking the fellowship of other believers, but looking for it elsewhere. We don't have to find, you know, the fellowship of other believers in these organized church events, these weekly, these weekly lectures, bookended with some music, because that's what it is in many cases. It's a pastor giving a lecture, and there's music and other stuff. You know, there's the community activities, etc. That all is not the point. That you don't need to have all that stuff to have fellowship. Whether two or more are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. You don't need to have 100 or 1,000 people around you to be in fellowship with other believers. In fact, sometimes those can be the most lonely places of all. You can be surrounded by people and still feel totally alone and have no fellowship. And you can go to church and then walk out feeling depressed because nobody wants to talk to you. You're not able to make any contact with people. It can happen. Though in good places, there are good people who will try to reach out to other people and to fulfill that role. And I would say that I think that the measure of a good church is when you find people that truly love one another within the church and love strangers and love people coming and visiting, and that love is manifested in a sincere way. It's one of those things you can't just give criteria out to judge. You just got to judge it for yourself when you encounter it. We can find fellowship in any number of places, even in churches where the truth is not preached to the extent that perhaps I would like it, perhaps you would like it, but you never know who could be there. And if they affirm Christ, it is not right to deny them Christianity, to say, oh, they're not really Christians. And they may be on the road to apostasy, but until they deny him, I give them the benefit of the doubt, even if I disapprove of 90% of what they do. Because there was a time in my life when I was younger when I looked back and I disapproved of 90% of what I used to be about. So, who am I to say that they're not going to have a similar transformation? And how would I have wanted people to deal with me to bring me out of my corruption? To bring me out of my corruption, I would have wanted them to do everything possible. But I know that if they had come at me with fighting words and, you know, accusing and being ill-tempered and impatient, it wasn't going to affect me. And even being patient and stuff, it's not necessarily going to affect me then either. But over time, and under the influence of God's Spirit, He communicated to me in His time what He needed me to do. You know, who are you that judges another man's servant? He's going to answer to God for himself. So be patient, understanding that they serve God. Be patient and understanding that they belong to God, and that God is going to deal with them, and that you just want to be there to facilitate the Lord's action. You just want to be a conduit of the Spirit to minister to them. You know, not necessarily to batter them, unless the Spirit moves, I suppose, right? Sometimes, yeah, maybe something really heavy-hitting can impact someone. I don't mean abusive. I just mean in the sense of, like, strong preaching. You know, something's preached very strongly with a lot of heart and emphasis and belief can be very persuasive. So I'm not saying gentleness is necessarily just the be-all, end-all, but we want to be mindful. And not just try to steamroll people. So that is my answer What about church? Is it okay to go to a church where people don't believe like I do? And I say, in the Spirit of God, we have liberty.